today on Real Radio.
He's not some bearded creature up there, you know, watching time go by. He is enthusiastic. He is full of passion. And because that's true, he has a mission, and you are the missionary for the task that God has. If you disagree with that, don't tell me that, because I don't want to hear it. I am totally deluded to the fact that God wants to use me. I'm excited about it, and I want him to have his way.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16 is a section that provides valuable insight into the various gifts believers have received and exercised for Messiah's glory, and their functions and purposes for the edification of his followers. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
Salvation is a gift given to us by the Lord. But tonight we're going to be looking at the gift of faith that is something other than. Some of the old biblical commentators put it this way, the faith of miracle working. Faith that was super energized supernaturally to perform super tasks in the name of the Lord. So we're not talking about saving faith tonight. It's important that you realize that. And as we go through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I hope and pray that this body would be somewhat, stirred up, maybe is a good word, that Paul used toward Timothy. Wow. Timothy. And that the Spirit would stir that up in our hearts to find out what gift we have in our lives. What gift has the Holy Spirit given us that we might be a viable, active participant in the body of Christ? And it's our responsibility to find out what that gift is. I'm going to say this. I get in trouble every time I do this with my kids. But my oldest, Rebecca, right now is at a really neat stage. And I've been watching what's been going on the last couple months. She may not be aware of this. But she'll be tripping around the house or something. And she'll say, hey, you know, what does it take to be one of these? And she'll, you know, say something like, a doctor or a fireman or an archaeologist, whatever the topic might be. She'll say, hey, what does it take to become one of these? And we'll talk about that for a moment. And then off she goes. And then maybe a day or two later, she'll come walking back by and say, you know, what does it take to become one of these? And we'll talk about that for a moment. And right now, she's at that age where it's the teenage years. And there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of great hope, a lot of great anticipation, a lot of pain and suffering. No, it's just an amazing time. And it's almost like springtime, where the little bird gets to the edge of the nest and, you know, oh, look at the world out there. And all of a sudden now the world is before her and she's thinking, what do I want to do should the Lord tarry in his coming? Which direction do I want to go in? And that's a beautiful place to be. And it reminds me of the household of faith where we as Christians need to be. We should always be thinking, you know what? What does God have in store for me? Oh, hey, maybe it's this week. Maybe next week it's something other. But the beautiful thing is to be asking, is to be searching and to be looking for what the Lord has in store for us as a body and you as an individual. Last week in our study, we saw that the Holy Spirit is sovereign in the giving of this gift of faith, a special miracle-working faith. And it's very important that we understand, and we'll review this a little bit, that it's the Spirit's will that you know what your gift is. I hope and pray that as long as you're under this roof at this particular church, that you're challenged to find out what your gift is. Now, you may say easily, with all the rest of us, When asked, are you a Christian? You'd say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. Then the Word of God teaches us that just as clearly as you can raise your hand, so we should be able to answer what our gift is within the body. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday who reminded me, and it's so very true, that his gift to the body of Christ is the gift of encouragement. Everybody he talks to gets encouraged in their walk. They feel like continuing on when they've been in this presence. Boy, isn't that a great gift to have in these days. By the way, did you see the news this week? Did you see Gershon Solomon on the news? Dancing in Jerusalem? You know, he's so terribly crippled from the tank accident, but he was spinning about dancing over the, you know, the news of the soon-to-be-rebuilt temple and children dancing around him. And then, did anybody see on Monday Joan London on Good Morning America? Did you see who was on Good Morning America? Melody was on Good Morning America. Melody, the red heifer from Jerusalem or from Israel, made it on Good Morning America. She's pretty well known. She's the most famous cow in the world. And an amazing time, an amazing time to be alive. And listen, the fact of the matter is for us as believers, we're living right at the end of the line here. And whatever is distracting you, you need to make sure it's put away. And we get really hot for the Lord right now because, my goodness, you know, we could go up any time here. I thought it was going to happen during worship. But, you know, listen, it's a wonderful time. And the Holy Spirit's desire and will is for us to know what our function in the body of Christ is. So I hope you're convicted or pricked or challenged to pursue what your gifting might be. Very, very important. But concerning the gift of faith, listen to this. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:12, which I believe is the mission of the Holy Spirit, he says that he's given gifts, number one, for the equipping of the saints. Ephesians 4:12. For the work of the ministry, that's the doing. That's the doing part, the activity. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, number three, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that's the encouragement. Now here, keep going in the next verse, I believe is the passion of the Holy Spirit, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. Why? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is God's will. And God's will is to have the Holy Spirit work that out in your life via the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Very important we understand that. I love the enthusiasm of God and the intent of the Spirit. He's so committed to us. We so often give up on ourselves. We give up on a task that we might embark upon. We quit so easily and so soon, but not the Holy Spirit. He stays with us. And a verse that has constantly been a blessing and a reminder to me about hanging in there. I was reminded today, by the way, of this very verse regarding the enthusiasm of God in Ephesians 3:20. You know it well. The Bible says there, now to him who is able, not me, not you. He's able. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. That is the most compact, condensed group of superlatives you'll find in the Bible. Exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. That's a tall order, isn't it? According to the power that works within us. What is that power? The power of the Holy Spirit. What does he want to do? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. If we were a Pentecostal church just then and there, we would have yelled. I even thought about taking off my sandals because I'm on holy ground when you quote such a verse like that. He is able. Our God is not up in heaven, you know, knit one, pearl two. He's not some bearded creature up there, you know, watching time go by. He is enthusiastic. He is full of passion. And because that's true, he has a mission, and you are the missionary for the task that God has. If you disagree with that, don't tell me that, because I don't want to hear it. I am totally deluded to the fact that God wants to use me. I'm excited about it. And I want him to have his way. And so we saw last time that we need to be careful concerning faith. And we spoke about the church at Sardis in Revelation 3, verse 1. where that church, remember, was well known in the community. You have a name that you're alive. They were well known in the town that you're alive. But Jesus said they're dead. They could have had all of the things. We talked about how stuffed their bulletin was. We talked about how they could have even had a coffee shop in town, bookstore. Doesn't matter. You see, the dangers to faith, now I'm speaking about all of our faith as believers, what I call general faith, saving faith. One of the very, very dangers to our faith, listen, is success, like it was at the church at Sardis. Because of success, they got their eyes, which is our little rotten human nature, is to get our eyes on the success rather than the success giver. And that church at Sardis looked at all the things that they had achieved as a church, and they began to lose it. They began to lose faith. But you never would have detected it from the outside. They were moving and shaking that area. But the fact is that in all of their busyness and in all of their Christendom, they had lost sight of Christ himself. Jesus was trying to revive them. He told them, strengthen the things that remain. He says, repent. Come back to life. And we're living in an age right now that is the end days. There's no doubt about that. We'll share that in depth on June 20th. We're living in the last days. The Bible says this. And our faith is being challenged right now. Listen, so subtly, so quietly that you may not even be detecting it. Those situations that you're going through right now may be undermining your faith and you're not aware of the tactics of the enemy. The busyness or the success of life that you may be enjoying is pulling you away from the Bible. You're not reading as much as you once read. You don't have the time to pray like you once did. Oh, God is blessing. Somebody might ask, how you doing? Oh, great, God's blessing. Is he blessing? Every blessing that God gives should send us more often to our knees. Beware of success. The ancient Greeks had a saying, I think it's a great thing to keep in mind, whom the gods could not destroy, they made great. Think about that. Whom the gods could not destroy, they made great. They couldn't wipe you out, they built you up until you lost perspective and you became great in your own eyes. I used to work with a guy at Baxter who used to say, always at the end of the day, he would say to somebody, remember to keep in touch with yourself. And then he would turn to somebody who was exercising a little bit of arrogance or pride. He would say, and he did it in such a crass way. He was a German guy, and he would stroke his beard, and he would say, you know what your problem is? You're a legend in your own mind. I like that. You're a legend in your own mind. Success will do that. And the church at Sardis had lost it. They had lost faith. Faith is that place that we talked about before where there's that childlike dependence upon God. You need him for everything. Lord, if you don't touch us, if you don't fill us, we're just going to absolutely fall on our face. We need faith. And we can get away from faith and get into formulas and become a very, very dangerous cancer in the body. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 warns us about that. In Hebrews 4, 2, it says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. My goodness, when you hear a Bible study, you have to be careful. What you're taking in is important. How you listen, as we looked at last week, is extremely important. How you hear. And Jesus mentioned that to that church at Sardis. He says, remember how you heard. And we talked about having a heart that had ears on it. But today, we need to be a people of faith. So here, I want to lay down a little bit of a foundation, and then we'll get into this gift of faith. Faith's potential. Keep this in mind. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Wonderful passage here. Mark 11, verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Literally in the Greek, it's have faith of God. Interesting. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, now you've read this with me 100 times, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And immediately in my mind, and I don't know how you are with this, a warning flag goes up in my mind. A warning flag. I read the word of God, and a red flag goes up and waves in my face because I think of the faith movement people. Immediately, by their heretical doctrine, I'm quenched in receiving clearly the word of God when Jesus says, when you pray believing. Well, wait a minute. I mentioned this the other day, that there's people saying, if you pray believing, you'll have that $1 million. That's not what God's talking about. The whole context is like John chapter 15, verse 7, that if the word of God abides in you, you may ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What is the qualifying statement? If the word of God abides in you, you having the word of God empowers your prayer. That is a prayer of faith. Why? It's based on the word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus says here, have the faith of God in the Greek, or have faith in God here in the English. And understand that when we have faith, it is faith in God. Do you understand that? And you say, well, Jack, of course, what on earth would we have faith in? Well, I'm seeing books, I'm hearing teachings, to have faith in faith. Now, you may not have heard it that way. Some of you have heard it that way. Just have faith in faith. Have faith in faith. If you haven't heard it, you've heard it this way. Say, you're healed. Now say it, and they'll go, I'm healed. Now say it again. Say what again? Say, I'm healed. Okay, I'm healed. Say it again. I'm healed. Say it 10 times. I'm healed. You see? And what happens is you are confessing what the New Age teaches as your reality. And it's been adopted by so many liberal Christian teachers. And what they're conditioning you to be indoctrinated into is having faith in faith. Have you ever heard somebody say, if you just had enough faith? No, you know what? If you just had a bigger God. You see, my God is all big. And my God chooses to heal or not heal. That's his business. That's how big my God is. My God, I can stand here and yell all night long, God, heal me. He's sovereign enough to do what's best for me. If it's a healing, praise the Lord. If it's not a healing, praise the Lord. He knows what's best. Are we willing to have faith in God and to receive what he gives us? He's not dressed in red. He doesn't wear black boots. He doesn't have a Rudolph of a reindeer. He is God. Jesus says, if you have faith and you're not doubting, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and it will move. That is so foreign to me. I wish I understood that more. I looked at this hard, and I began to realize that for a moment, that in my life, I'll drive around mountains. I'll get in my car and I go around mountains. I don't have a car to take me over the mountain. I don't have a road to take me over the mountain. And I don't have the power to go through the mountain. And I began to think about how my life I'll go around. And Jesus is speaking of spiritual things. No doubt, I mean, Jesus could say to a mountain, move, and that mountain would move fast. But in Zechariah, when the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, the opposition to Zerubbabel were the spiritual forces there. And the Lord said to Zerubbabel, you shout to this mountain, grace, grace unto it. And it's going to have to yield. The opposition in life, faith will deal with. Faith takes us there. It is our God who gives us the power. It is our God who grants. Our object of our faith is God. We do not have faith in faith. And this is very basic teaching, Christian teaching. In Matthew 17, 20, down at the latter end of the verse, Jesus says, I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, now it's mustard seed faith, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. I don't know that kind of faith. I haven't seen that happen in my life. I've asked it to not rain because we were doing an outreach, you know, in Russia, and it didn't rain. But it must not have made that big of an impact on me because, you know, I'd get in the bus and say, oh, man, aren't we lucky? It didn't rain. What a knucklehead. I mean, God answered the prayer, you know. I mean, all of us can say that God did something wonderful and great like that. Having faith in the Lord, has He ever let us down? Really? Never. He may not have answered our expectation in our prayer, but He doesn't let us down. He always knows what's best. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says, for I say to you, through the grace which is given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly as he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a series of studies called United in the Gifts. This is an in-depth examination of Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16, and of course other biblical passages that speak of the various gifts believers have received and exercise. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Now, we're just about to wrap up 2008, and so our teacher has something important to say about that.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot. Listen, we are so excited to share with our listeners about what God is doing with Real Radio. Frankly, it's blown our minds, and this is what's going on. First of all, we're coming up now on 1 year of broadcasting throughout the islands of Vanuatu. I don't know if any of our listeners even know where Vanuatu is, but it's a string of islands in the South Pacific that we are now reaching those there along those islands with the gospel of Jesus Christ here through Real Radio. Another thing is the Grand Cayman Islands. We are broadcasting over those islands, the Word of God here on Real Radio. We're excited about that. But Mike, the opportunities continue to come. And I want to share with the listeners as we approach this year end just how amazing it is. And that is the opportunity came to us to broadcast over satellite radio. And Mike, get a load of this. Throughout much of India, Africa, areas of Europe, Southern Europe, and the Middle East that previously we were not broadcasting in. Here's the amazing part. One of our Real Radio listeners heard from the Lord and stepped up and covered 6 months of broadcasting on satellite radio for us. 6 months of getting the Word of God out. What that allows us to do, Mike, is get the entire Gospel of John to that region of the world. Imagine for a moment, Africa, the Middle East, Southern Europe, and great parts of India. 6 months of the Gospel of John. Well, listen, if any of you are listening today and you'd like to help us and partner with us and getting the Word of God out, we'd love to hear from you. And you can be excited. You can always log on, by the way, to realradioactive.org and find out what's going on and how your investments are touching others in the kingdom of God. And so I can't think of anything more exciting than to get the Word of God out before the Lord returns. Thanks, Mike. God bless you guys.
Okay, well, again, you can visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or if you're ready to correspond right now, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.